I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
Now the Backstreet Boys are all grown up with their own reality.
Cue the outrage.
We are the pop culture professors.
This is We Stand Together, an academic pop culture symposium.
We're the pop culture professors, some say.
Yeah, some people call us smart people, but you know they're telling us we're talking about dumb topics.
We listen to these people.
We do.
We listen to these people.
Yeah, the people that call us out and say, hey, you, smart person, talking dumb. And we go, thank you for seeing us.
They have influence over our life. Because we are pop culture professors. We've both taught at the college level. College students have listened to us.
Yeah, I have been grading papers today. Like actual essays that I've been like grammar correcting.
I think grading is hands down the worst part of teaching.
Yeah, I know. And I try to explain this to students all the time when they complain to me about homework. And I go, do you think I like giving you homework? Because you know I have to look at it later. It's hard for me too. You get to do it once. I have to sometimes look at it over 100 times.
Yes. And to teach at that level, we had to get master's degrees. No one asked us to, but.
No one asked us to get master's, but someone let us get master's.
Institutions approved.
Do you feel like your grad department reaches out to you much?
No. Are you have the opposite experience?
I do. And I don't know. And this will be a really great way to find out if any of my former faculty listen to this show. But I feel like somehow I became the person in my graduating class that gets tapped whenever they need someone to like rally the troops for some sort of like spirit event or something like that. Like 10 minutes before we hopped on this call, I got a text from an old professor being like, hey, more of your classmates need to join this secret Facebook group to blah, 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 blah. And I was like, why am I always getting these calls and texts and emails? I don't know. It's weird.
That's interesting. No, I definitely hear from undergrad more. But I think, you know, I think acting, like, you know, you have more of a troop mentality.
I was wondering if it was just because of the fact that I made the really bold decision to get a master's in acting and if that's, you know, my punishment. Not that
100%.
Not that I don't love my grad program, you know, shout out shout out to the Hawkeyes. I do love you all. I think it's, you know, interesting how much I hear from them.
We're both Big Ten alums. We don't really make that connection.
We don't because, you know, I never saw a sporting event in my entire
life.
Just,
I mean, you just unprompted said go Hawkeyes. I yeah. find this.
I mean, I had a lot of school spirit, but I was never able to get tickets to a major game. But I will say my connection to Big Ten sports is that, and you may have found this too, when you are a teacher at a Big Ten school, if you have an athlete in your class and they like you, they will promote you to all of the other athletes on the team. And so I found that when I was teaching at U of Iowa, I was real popular with the men's wrestling team, the girls' basketball team, and honestly, I had quite a few of the football players. One of my students ended up going to the NFL. Shout out Micah Hyde.
Wow, Micah Hyde.
Yeah.
Men's wrestling is gigantic in Iowa.
Oh, yeah. So. And one time they all had to go see plays when they were in my acting class, and you would have to go see the play and then write a report about it. And one night, of course, they coordinate. They all want to hang out. So a bunch of the wrestlers all went to the same showing of, I think, Sarah Rule's Eurydice. And at intermission, they saw me because I happened to be there that night, and they all circled around me. And my friends, I just heard all this cackling, and they're like, Lauren, it looked like you were the coach. Like, they all circled around you like you were giving them a pep talk. And I don't know. That sort of embodies my teaching at Iowa.
I know you don't like sports, but I do. I see a path forward in coaching for you.
Oh, I think I would be. I wouldn't know anything about the game, but in terms of like pushing an athlete, I think I'd be really great at that. I one time during an acting class at Iowa, one of the football players came up to me and they were like, "You are so much scarier than coach." And I took that. That was one of the most biggest compliments I've ever gotten in my life.
I could totally see you like at the football practice. You know, sometimes they tackle that mm-hmm. thing and then someone is standing on it mm-hmm. and they get moved. I could see you standing on that and yeah. like having fun and being like, "We got to go, Haas, we got to move." But I think it's football because football, there's so many assistant coaches, they mm-hmm. can know the plays and stuff.
I would love this. And if anyone out there is listening, like, I please hire me to be the fuck out.
Oh my God. Yeah, she is looking for a head coaching position at a major university. Please hire Lauren Brickman. Fam, if it seems like, wow, they're blabbing a lot, isn't the guest getting annoyed? I got news for you, folks. There's no guest today.
That's why we are wilding out, because we're doing a little something special this week. We are trying you may have seen, we're getting in the holiday spirit, and with the holidays comes a sense of anything's possible. And so we've been, you know, experimenting with the form of this show. And so we're giving you some holiday treats, and this episode I think is a real treat.
I mean, what we're doing today is different than any other episode. We're going to do a watch along. So, folks, you're going to need to queue up your Netflix and watch with us. We're going to do a Mystery Science Theater mm-hmm. of one of the most important pieces of media of all time.
Yeah. I don't think it can be overstated how important this piece of art is, the impact that it's had on certainly us as individuals, but I think on the entire world.
Folks, we're talking about season 7, episode 18 of Grey's Anatomy.
Now, you know, we are super stans of Grey's Anatomy. You know, if anyone is out there and they don't know, perhaps the credit, our pop culture credit that Caitlin and I are most proud of is that we are still current on all 17 beautiful seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
Absolutely. And we're part of multiple chats on multiple platforms that are dedicated exclusively to talking about Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. Lauren started a new one in quarantine.
I did.
And there's people that I've certainly never met, mm-hmm. But that I would die for because I know that they are current on Grey's and I can trust them.
And that's the only thing that is required for you to be in this group chat is that you have mm-hmm. to be current, because we will not respect spoilers. Like, spoiler, like, the whole chat is a spoiler. No. And the beautiful thing about Grey's Anatomy is that it really can bring people together from all different backgrounds. Like, we certainly have, you know, other comedians and performers, but we also have labor lawyers in this group. We also mm-hmm. have, like, elementary school teachers. We have personal trainers. Like, we have people of all, you know, ethnic backgrounds, ages, professions, and that is the beauty of Grey's Anatomy.
The one uniting thing is they're current on Grey's. And you may be thinking, well, why this episode? What's going on with season 7, episode 18? Well, it's an episode called Song Beneath a Song, but known casually among Grey's fans as the musical episode.
And if you're going, what? There is a musical episode of Grey's. Maybe this synopsis of the episode will jog your memory. A cataclysmic event rattles the doctors of Seattle Grace to the core as Callie, on the verge of an enormous life-changing moment with Arizona, envisions her hospital and friends as it has never been seen before. Original air date, March 31st, 2011.
Now, Lauren, mm-hmm. Grey's fans... Let's say the opinions vary uh-huh. on the quality of this episode. Now, I know you have a strong take.
Yeah, I absolutely think it should have EGOTed. I think that this episode defies all rules and it should have gotten the Emmy. It should have gotten the Grammy. It should have gotten the Oscar. It should have gotten the Tony. In fact, I'll say it. It should have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize.
Okay, so you're at one spectrum. Now, I'm not a hater at all. There are individual parts I absolutely despise, and I will be pointing that out.
Well, I can't wait to explain to you how you're wrong, but...
But I overall, I'm glad they did it, mm-hmm. and I enjoy the show, so I watch it. Now, some people skip it when they do their rewatches, but not I. I don't skip it.
And to those people, I just want to say help is out there. You know, there are – I certainly am – I'm not pretending to be a professional mental health expert, but I do have a lot of resources available for anyone who skips this episode or thinks this episode is bad. I want to get you the help you deserve. That's all I want to say about that.
And we believe in mental health here, so I'm all for that.
Ugh. I love this episode so much. And, you know, Caitlin and I, we were talking about, we're like, oh man, election fatigue is so real, pandemic fatigue, Zoom fatigue. There's so much going on. And like, I heard this expression soul fatigue the other day that felt like, it resonated and it hit me to my very core. And so when Caitlin and I were planning, like, what would a fun episode be? And I was like, I don't think we could give anyone a better gift than, you know, reminding them about this iconic episode. So, like, if you're already a Grey's Anatomy fan, this will be a super fun ride. But I do want to say to anyone listening right now that's like, Grey's Anatomy, I couldn't care less. There's something for everyone. Even if you've never seen an episode, even if you've hated any episode you've seen, I promise you, we're going to go on a journey today that is something, there's going to be something for everyone.
Yeah. So jump in. We're going to take a break. While we do that, you queue up Netflix, Grey's Anatomy, Season 7, Episode 18.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere.
They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
All right, we are back. We are about to get into it. Song beneath the song.
Stantans, I hope you've got a box of Kleenex, something good to drink, hopefully some freshly popped corn. You know, this is self-care time. So, like, do yourself a favor and get comfy, get cozy.
We love it. All right, in five, four, three, two, one.
Action.
Play it, kids.
Oh. Yeah.
Got that little yeah.
Ah!
Oh.
Oh my God.
Oh, they already were in the car accident.
Yeah, the car accident happens at the end of the last episode. And you come in hot.
Oh my God. First of all, we have a Cali VO.
Which, for anyone who doesn't watch the show, usually we have VO from Meredith Grey. So when you have another character doing the VO, you know it's going to be special. This is also graphic.
I don't like it, actually.
It's so much more graphic than you think it's going to be. Oh, my God.
I actually really don't like this.
It's actually traumatic. But this is why it should have EGOT it. Like, they were going for it.
Like, listener, I'm actively closing my eyes.
Yeah, Caitlin's eyes are closed. Caitlin's looking away, and I can't stop watching. Like, this is art. It's art. Ugh. And so here's the thing. She was in a car accident. She had a brain accident. And, chills.
Oh, chills. I do like that.
Chills. Tony Award-winning Sarah Ramirez serving. I miss Mark Sloan so much. Yeah, you did.
Okay, if you're a doctor on Grey's, never just start bragging because it means out of your eye line, one of your immediate family members has died.
Yeah, I think doctors on all television shows should heed that lesson. Don't get too cocky, doctors, because karma's coming for you. I will say this. I don't know if I've ever loved a man the way I love Mark Sloan.
No, you haven't.
No.
Also, if you're not a regular Grey's viewer, Mark Sloan is the father of the baby of Cali, even though she's with Arizona.
Yes. So.
So many people are dead that are in this shot.
Yeah. It's truly wild to look back. Ten seasons ago, we had so many more living doctors.
Wow. Kim Raver looks exactly the same. Good for
Kim Raver hasn't aged in 10 years. So many of these doctors are either dead or just gone.
Or April.
Yeah,
Kempner, April, who works at a nearby homeless shelter.
But we never see her, even though her child is still on the show, kind of. It's crazy town. Also, the fact that they said he can be in the room is insane. There's no way you'd let him in the room.
No.
Never. You gotta love Arizona for the fact that, like, she's really trying to be a doctor still.
Oh, I don't like this.
Ooh, it's please so stop. It's so much more graphic than I remembered. Like, I had no idea it was this graphic. Oh my god. Oh. And also, viewers, if you didn't know, all of the songs I cover in this episode have appeared in episodes. So every song already has a relationship to the show. Brilliant. It's totally brilliant.
This show was the first that I feel like I heard about, you know, there's a music director who chooses the music for it, which that position had always existed. But I feel like that person gained prominence, that position gained prominence through Grey's.
Yeah. Oh my god, that gets me every time when he's like, Torres, stay with me. It's like, yeah, remember, stay with me, Torres.
Remember in the Sliding Doors episode that they're together?
The most insane choice in that Sliding Doors episode is the idea.
The Sliding Doors episode really separates the acting levels because Sara Ramirez still sells it. Still like, maybe.
I'm going to say something right now, and I am prepared to back this up. I think Sara Ramirez is perhaps the single most talented person to ever work at Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I don't think I have a rebuttal to that.
I think it's her, and then
Sandra Oh would be like
Sandra
the only,
Oh. But Sandra Oh, as talented as she is, she's not a singer. And Sarah is a singer. And I think my top three would probably be like Sara Ramirez is number one. Ooh. Then Shonda Wilson and then Sandra Oh. Oh my god. They're duetting in a it's
some reason this show, this episode really highlights some things that don't make any sense about the show and not the musical side. Like, why are every doctor we know in the same room? It doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense that all of these people are working on the same emergency. I mean, I guess you're supposed to believe that because it's her, because she's one of their own. But, like, it often happens that
it's actually just too many doctors in this room right now.
Too many.
Look how
doctors.
Many people are in there.
And you're absolutely right that too often doctors in this hospital collaborate.
There's eight. I've never been in a room with eight doctors ever.
So if you're listening to the show and you're a medical professional, please tell us if one of your own had gone down, how many doctors would they actually allow in? I will say one time as a child, I had a minor medical procedure happen and there were probably eight nurses in there with me. And that's the most I've ever seen in one room.
I don't like, okay.
What do you not like?
I don't like when Sloan lost weight.
He's too thin for you?
I think he's too thin right now.
Okay. I understand that.
His face is so beautiful, but I think it makes a turn towards too angular when he lost the weight.
Interesting.
I don't know. I hesitated to say it because I don't want a body shame.
We don't want a body
shame. The wonderful... But it's just different levels of looking beautiful.
Yeah.
Him. But
none of it's bad, but there are some that stand out.
We can have preferences. We can have
I might start crying already. Like when you hear the harmonies come in, like I'm actually feeling tears well up in my eyes. I can't like I don't
Who is that nurse? The nurse is hilarious.
But look how good she is, and listen to her. Like, she's just so talented. How is she pulling this off? Oh, my God.
For a second, I thought you were still talking about that nurse. I was like,
Finally, they say there's too many people when they try to get to the elevator. Finally, Weber's like, this is outrageous. I don't know why that made me laugh.
I forgot that they just got
engaged. Yeah, it happened as they were getting engaged.
Arizona is actually like a horrible partner.
You know, one of the things that I like about this episode, though, one of the things I like about this episode is that it really isn't about Derek, and any episode that's not about Derek, I love.
Interesting.
And I say this as someone who, like, we need Derek. Like, Derek is integral to this hospital. He's integral to the storyline. Well, he was. Rest in peace. He's dead. Like, I'm glad he was there. I'm glad we got the stories. But, like, I love an episode where he's in the background.
I agree.
All right, Shyler Lee is Lexi Gray coming in.
It's Kyler. Mm-hmm. Isn't that horrible?
Agree to disagree on that. Kyler, I'm going to call you Shyler. So sorry about that.
I worked on a show. There was a PA named Kyler. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. He's much younger than me. And he was like, oh, I had to be Kyler P at school. There was another Kyler. I was like, No.
She's too... Ugh,
special guest star Kate Walsh. Are you kidding?
It's so good. The fact watching her on is so hard because I miss Lexi
Scott
so
Foley.
Much.
We've got a Scott Foley Kate Walsh episode, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
I do miss. What would Lexi be doing now if she was still alive?
If Lexi was still alive, she would be just absolutely flourishing. Like, I think the thing that we all are missing in our lives is Meredith and Lexi winning a Harper Avery Award together and finding out that they won for Sisterhood, you know, like.
Well, that's the thing. Meredith wouldn't have fake sisters.
Yeah. We've had to redefine how, you know.
I can't emphasize enough. The credits are still going.
Yeah, the credits are still going.
We are so far into this.
There's so much has happened. We've had a horrific, violent, traumatizing car accident. We've established it's a musical. There's so much happening, and the credits aren't over. So just riddle yourself this, listener. If we haven't even finished the credits and all of this have happened, how much more is going to happen? So much more. Oh my God. Whoa. To admit you're out of your depth, huge.
Wait, who was that even?
I can't remember that doctor's name. This was 10 years ago.
I hate that doctor.
Yeah, I don't remember that doctor's name. Oh my God, Mark Sloan is crying. When Mark Sloan cries, I cry. I don't think he's ever been hotter than in this moment. He looks so broken and so weak, but he's so hot to me. I don't hate you. Oh. Caitlin, we might have made a mistake. I might be too emotional to do a watch along.
All right, Lauren's left. It's just me, listener.
And this is like sort of
this
like
this is one of the best friendships. This is one of the best friendships.
And this
Grace.
Was really a turning point for Karev. Like this season, he was really growing and learning and becoming the man we would fall in love with.
You really can't hang out in a hospital stairway as much as they do.
Yeah, I've often wondered if there was a stairway that they just, like, pretended was always locked so that they could hang out there. Like, do you think they did that?
You really would get in the way.
No. Oh, my God.
Great green screen work. I just believe they're there.
Their green screen work here is next level. What is her name? I never remember her name.
You know what? And I've relearned it recently again, and
I'm going to forget it
already. I hate her.
I hate her, too.
She left
sucks.
The show to do a Charlie's Angels.
That's right. But Kate Walsh is here, so everything's going to be okay.
Get me Addison Montgomery.
Wow. When Kate Walsh walks in and puts you in your place, you know you've done wrong.
I would love it, though.
I want her to come and yell at me. Is that weird? Is it weird that I want Kate Walsh to knock on my door and yell at me?
No, it's normal.
Okay. I also want her to tell me everything's going to be okay.
I don't like her earrings.
They feel cheap, and she's not cheap. They feel like...
That shape is weird.
They just feel like cubic zirconian. Ooh. The fighting, the infighting is hard.
I would like to know more about the wardrobe department on this show, actually, and the choices they make, because they get such a limited...
Yeah.
Tableau.
They don't...
To tell the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Okay. This might have been the beginning of me falling out of love with Owen. I'm so sorry, but this is insane. Also, this is...
This is not a banner moment for the episode. It's confusing.
No. It's just... The music track is weird. This is one moment that feels like it misses just a little bit.
This is not the moment I hate, though.
No.
We haven't hit it yet.
I think this might be my least favorite moment in the episode.
You know Yang, I mean, Sandra Oh must not be able to sing at all, because she is not getting a moment in this.
I want to know what those, like, negotiations look like with the cast. Like, I want to know, for real, who was super excited, who did it against their will, and who had their agent call the second they got a sniff and say, you can't do this to my actor.
Kevin McKidd was over the moon.
He's
probably still actively pitching doing another one that he will direct this time.
Oh, he's probably workshopping the stage version right now. But do you think they made them, like, audition? Do you think they, like, called them in and, like, had them sing for their supper? Or do you think they just knew already?
No. I think they knew.
Okay. I wonder if they're, like, I feel like we haven't gotten enough of an oral history of this episode, and I want to hear more from them, like, obviously, we built this episode for Sarah Ramirez. We always wanted to do this for her. But, like, how did they know they had enough other actors to pull it off?
Well, Kyler Lee, I believe, was in a band. I think it was known that she is a musician.
That's true. And I guess
Kevin McKidd is someone who would...
Tell you?
I think so.
Yeah. And Chandra Wilson, I think, had a theater background.
I believe
maybe.
She's done, yes.
This is maybe my favorite song of the whole episode. This is a true story.
This acting back here isn't the best for
me. No,
either,
but this song, circling back to grad school, when we would do Meisner, like when we had to do emotional prep, I would use this song to, like, get emotional. This song is on my emotional prep playlist. That's my truth. Wait till the sky is blue. Oh, I love it so much.
I think it's always interesting who Bailey has friendships with.
I feel like other than, like, Weber, they never really let you see her fully be someone's friend. Like, it's always, like...
Because she was... Yeah.
Like, she's friendly with people, and she has friends, but, like... You don't really get to see her have a person, you know? Like, I feel like in recent seasons, I like where they're going with her and Teddy.
This
but
hair is rough.
Hotness Monster? Wow. Jesse Williams? He was so young.
His hair. He's
5 years old. He's like 5.
He looks much better now. Did meet him in person, famously. He's short.
He is so... He's like Doogie Howser young in this season. I'm so sad because I used to like his character so much. And
when he and Lexi are friends, mm-hmm. and then he says, like, there would be a line of men for you mm-hmm. and me. And she says something like, would you be in the line? And he's like, yeah, I wait in that line. I think that is a really underrated great scene.
He had so many great lines in so many episodes.
But he's
just been, like, so selfish in recent seasons. Like, I hated everything that happened with him and Maggie. Him and Maggie's relationship was so gross.
It was.
It was just gross and weird and wrong. And I'm like, he's been such a great, like, I don't know.
I wonder how he feels about J'April.
It's like,
because Sarah Drew is just vocal. Like, she does not like the Matthew ending. And
the Matthew ending sucked. And it felt mean.
But he can't really say that because he's still on the show.
Yeah. But, okay. Arizona needs to calm down. I feel like
this acting is rough because they...
It does feel like... Ooh. These are two of my favorite characters, two of my favorite actors on the show. But this scene is really hard, and it feels like something happened right before they started to do this. Like, this feels like something bad happened on set, and we had not processed it before we started to film.
Well, I don't think they liked having to stand in the background while Chandra did all those takes singing.
Oh, that's probable.
I think it feels like background work, and they're
pissed.
Are not happy.
Yeah. Yeah. They just don't look present. They don't look like they're into it. It's rough. Sandra Oh.
I miss Yang's long sleeve shirts under her.
I know. That scrubs. Was such a fun thing.
People, they don't do that look as much on the show anymore.
They don't do that.
Izzy did it a lot too.
Ever, I don't think.
Oh, I don't want to see it again.
Sarah Ramirez is so gorgeous.
Why don't they put, I mean, I know this is like a fantasy, but why don't they put like 2 cents into making it look good?
It seems like this was a moment in technology when we were like, we just got new stuff and we were playing with our new toys, but they hadn't really figured it out yet, because there's quite a bit of interesting, odd stuff happening. This is a movie I want. I want, like, this storyline of, like, this could be a movie. This whole storyline.
They could have a spinoff. Why don't they? I mean, because Sarah Ramirez doesn't want to do it. But...
Yeah. That would have been, at the height of this show, they could have totally.
I mean, they live in New York now together. Mm-hmm. We don't fully know that they're romantically together, but it's strongly implied that that was going to happen.
Oh,
I hate the song.
Why?
The song.
Why do you hate this?
I just hate the song. And this part is okay, but it's about to get really bad.
Do you hate this song always, or just this version of the song?
This, I don't really know this song though, outside of this.
I love this.
Okay, this guy, famously rewatching Smash, he plays the dramaturg that is like the exact same character. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. He plays hot but intimidating guy to, like, the tough girl. Okay, this part, no.
Why do you hate this so much? It's really, I think it's quite sexy, all these couples doing it. They're just fully embracing their nickname, the Hot Doctor Show.
Like, I don't like it.
What is it? Does it feel cheesy to you? Does it feel...
Yes.
You don't like Scott Foley? Come on.
It's just really, it feels like a farce. It just, the tone of it is so, I don't like it.
I feel like it knows exactly what it is.
This is the absolute worst part, though. This is it. This is
because
her
character's name is Lucy, by the way. I just remembered.
I'll forget again.
Dr. Lucy Fields. Oh, yeah, I mean... Anytime she's on screen, I hate it. I have to say, though, Karev sold it better than I thought.
Does he live in Shepherd's trailer?
Yeah, he's living in this season. He's living there for
the trailer narrative too. Is not for me.
It was a weird choice that we lived with for too long.
A long time. Also, this apartment that Owen and Yang are in, only recently did anyone move out of it.
Yeah, it stayed in the family forever.
Which is funny because I get, you know, they only have so many sets, but it's such a generic apartment. Like, why didn't they just say they're somewhere else?
That would have been a thing. Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing that I learned from this number. I learned that Arizona, though married to a Tony Award-winning singer, is not a singer. And they did not need to do her dirty and make her sing anything. That little clip was rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I did learn Scott Foley can sing and would like to hear him sing again.
I don't like this.
Oh,
either.
This part is hard. They shouldn't have done this to Ellen like Pompeo. Poor Ellen.
It's so off brand for the character. It makes no sense.
This feels rough. This feels forced. And it does
It feels like Ellen Pompeo is like trying to make the choice to sort of make fun of it acting wise. And it's not the worst choice, but it's horrible still.
You feel the misogyny there.
Now, one of these characters is dead, but it's not who you think if you're only watching this scene.
Yeah. Wow. It is wild how much more power Meredith has now that Derek's gone. Like, rewatching it, like,
yeah,
she is, the status differential is so much more stark than I thought it was when I was first watching.
Now, famously, we don't really know what year it is in the Grays verse.
Yeah.
So season 7, because like the first 3 seasons take place over like half a year.
Yeah.
And then this character may not be 30 yet.
Yeah, we're not sure. If anyone listening to this show, like, I would love if there is like someone who used to work on the show in the writer's room, like a writer's assistant or someone, if anyone has access to a Grey's Anatomy timeline, I would love to see it. I am concerned that for the first time ever, Grey's is going to try to like make it clear that they're in the same general timeline we are. Season 17 is going to be dealing with COVID in a way that feels I'm nervous. We've never tried to play with time the way they're going to try to play with time this season.
I actively hate it.
Yeah,
I will watch every episode, I don't want to think about COVID. It's strange. Grey's Anatomy for me, I famously have binge watched it several times while staying with my mother in the hospital, which doesn't make sense to a lot of people that is an escapist, but it is escape somehow to me from real medical problems.
Because you're like, this isn't real at all.
Like, I don't know. It is something strange to me about it. And I don't want to think about COVID when I watch.
No. I'm with you. That was one of the things that we bonded on early on in our friendship. We were like, oh yeah, when I'm feeling a lot of trauma and grief in my life, I'll watch more trauma and grief on Grey's Anatomy.
Doesn't make sense, but
we talked about it on Nicole Silverberg's podcast, and you know, we kind of self-declared ourselves potential trauma junkies, and that feels right. But not.
Yes, please listen to our episode on Nicole's podcast, Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. Check us out. But not right now.
Keep listening to this one. But later, when you're like, man, I could really use 2 more hours of Lauren and Caitlin talking about Grey's Anatomy. Oh, I forgot about this song. I completely forgot about this moment in the show. Oh my god. I must skip this one. I must have skipped this one. I forgot about this.
I don't know if I love this hair length for her.
Oh, I like it. I've definitely had that haircut before. There have been times in my life where I've had this haircut.
No, guilty as well, but I don't know. I think I like either her long hair or currently she's wearing it like super short. And I like both, but
I don't think I've ever seen her with a haircut I didn't like. I think Sarah Ramirez is one of the most stunning women in the world.
Well, yes, but... And folks, she just came out as non-binary.
Oh, I didn't realize.
But she does... She said she or they works for
she
her.
She or they.
So, that's we are not... Folks, we're aware of that, but...
But they're comfortable with both pronouns. That's really cool.
Yes.
I haven't been following Sarah's social media presence as closely as I should be then.
We can all grow and learn.
Well,
how old is Sarah Ramirez? 40
I'm going to guess, but I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
Between 40 and 45?
The cool thing is I can look it up, so I'm going to.
She's someone that, like, used to feel a lot older than me, but doesn't anymore, if that makes any sense.
That does make sense. She's 45. That makes sense.
Love that.
We have the same age difference that my brother and I have. Shout out to my brother if he's made it this far into the episode.
You and... she's, in a way, my your sister. Older sibling.
Mm-hmm. In a way, she is my sister in that we have the same age difference that my brother and I have. Mm-hmm. That's how that works. That's how families work. That's, according to Grey's Anatomy, that's how families work. So,
if you just say someone's your sister, mm-hmm. that is true.
Wow. I obviously skip chunks of this when I rewatch it because I've been surprised more times than I thought I would be. Like this, I had forgotten about this too. And this is an episode I revisit often. I will say, this true story, friend of the podcast, Fat Carrie Bradshaw, Chris Burns, who's been on the show before, he was my date to a wedding once, and we borrowed my uncle's car, and he met me in Battery Park, and we drove from Battery Park all the way up to upstate New York, and we listened to this soundtrack, and particularly Chasing Cars over and over again. And we didn't speak for a solid hour because we just sang these songs over and over again. So
just I love that for both of you.
Just so you know, think that's the level. We've also both said that we want to get to the level of famous where people will think it's an honor if we do like a staged reading for like a benefit. Like we want to do a Grey's Anatomy staged concert for a benefit of some sort of charity. That's the level of stardom we aspire to.
I think that you will get there, and I think that wedding is very blessed, the love and the union. I think this is great.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that they've done this dream sequence thing so we don't have to see actually injured Sarah Ramirez. I think this is a good artistic choice.
I like her outfit. It's simple, but it's really, I really like it. Just want to put that out there. Shout out again to wardrobe department.
Kepner must not be able to sing, huh?
She's been in a few moments. It's weird because I think Kepner sounds to me like she has a stronger voice than some of the other people that have been featured more.
I mean, her storyline does not connect.
Yeah.
Quite.
I think she suffered more from being a satellite character, and at this point in the series it wouldn't have made a whole lot of sense for her to be present.
Wait, oh my god, what was Kepner's specialty? I can't even remember.
Wasn't she general?
Yeah, right. I think she general. Meredith and Bailey are all general, right?
I think so. I think that was
so there's nothing, it's like she's not pulled in by any particular part of the injury either.
Yeah, and this was like they hadn't quite, she was still just sort of like the Jesus lover at this point in the series, if I'm
Sarah Ramirez. Honestly, they should bring back Kepner.
Kepner forever. Like, bring back Kepner. Get Kepner and Avery back together. Let's see their child.
The show is lacking right now to me is an anchor couple.
Yeah.
And we need an anchor couple.
Yeah.
And
oh. I loved that delivery. I thought he nailed it.
Their tension is...
I often wonder if the two of them genuinely didn't like each other as people. Like, it seems like there's something between them. Not the characters, but the actors. I wonder if they just didn't get along, the two of them. Because their scenes are... I love both of them, but I don't love them in scenes together. And I don't know if it's just, like, the writing or what.
They seem pretty different. I mean... Being Steven Spielberg's stepdaughter probably makes a person have interesting views.
I'm just wondering when we're going to get an episode of Ghosts so that we can have Lexi and Mark come back to haunt Meredith for an episode.
Well, I have famously said, and God, I don't like thinking about this day, but I think the last episode of Grey's Anatomy will be Meredith VO. And, like, I think there's going to be a shot of all those people.
There would have to be.
I think it's going to be, the VO is going to be something like something about how surgeons live with the dead And like, I think you're going to see like a lot of dead characters. Like, I think you're going to see Mandy Moore.
Oh, wow. I hope so. How to Save a Life. You knew they couldn't do a musical episode without doing this song.
Now, let me pose a question to you. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most iconic Grace song? Is it either Chasing Cars or How to Save a Life?
Interesting quandary.
I think it's one of those two, certainly.
I think, I mean, where did I go wrong? I think this is the song that non-Grace stans would associate with the show. Like, mm-hmm. I think How to Save a Life, even if you've never seen an episode, and listeners, if this is your first time.
Teddy, God bless. Coming in.
If this is your first time watching Grey's Anatomy, let us know. Did you think of the show when you heard the song? I think this is the song that most people would associate, but for me, I think of Chasing Cars. I have more of an emotional connection to Chasing Cars, and I think a lot of super fans, I'm guessing, agree. But I think I think like you were saying earlier about like this show, like having like a music producer, like the soundtrack of this show has always been a big part of my viewing experience. Like this is a show that like I often will be like, this song is making me feel things. Let me go find it. So there's a lot of music that's in my life because of Grace.
Remember when they did the season where they only did covers?
Yep. That was a great season for me.
Was that 11?
I think
folksy
so.
Folksy covers of like Britney Spears.
It was the greatest season of my life.
Big choice.
I loved it. I love a cover. That was the best gift that they ever gave me. Really made up for some of the other choices they've made over the years.
Oh, yes. We are very angry at the show.
There's no show on earth that hurts me more, but I come back. Like, I will never forgive them for Riggs. Like, you can give me all the Carassics you want, but I'll never forgive you for Riggs. You did him dirty, and by doing him dirty, you did me dirty. And if you don't know the name Riggs, be thankful. Be thankful you've never known pain like that. Be thankful you've never been given a gift and then have it taken away.
Riggs was a joy. Justice for Riggs. But he started off annoying to me.
Yeah.
But then he got in my heart, much like Meredith.
But I love a hate-to-love story. I love a hate-to-love story. Give me all the hate-to-love stories. Ugh. This is hard. This is hard to watch. I had forgotten. I thought this was going to be like just like a fun episode. I forgot we had traumatic premature birth. We should probably put a trigger warning in the episode description.
Fair.
Sorry to anyone that was surprising.
It would be fun if they did do another musical episode to do one that's more like fun. Like more of a weird medical thing than a tragic one.
Yeah. Like a Grey's Anatomy talent show episode.
Oh my god, for some reason the way you said that reminded me of truly one of the worst episodes ever, which is where they all get high.
Oh my god, yeah. The worst episode.
Except for like, is it like Except Glasses or something?
Something dumb. Now, I don't know, I hate that episode so much. I hate that episode. It's not an EGOT one like this one is. Wow.
No, it is not an EGOT one.
No, not like this.
No, has Grey's ever been nominated for an Emmy? I don't even think.
I'm gonna fact check. Why does that line make me laugh so much? Her brain has been compromised. Sounds like the most absurd thing ever. So they've had acting nominations. Let's see.
Oh, yeah, because Chandra Wilson has been nominated, right? And Sandra Oh?
Sandra Oh, and famously, Katherine Heigl was nominated, and she was like, don't nominate me because the storylines are bad. She got a lot of bad press for that.
I forgot about that. That is a huge story at the time.
Yeah. It's also been nominated for Outstanding Drama Series. T.R. Knight was nominated.
T.R. Knight was nominated?
In 2007. 2007, 2008, 2006. It was getting a lot of love by the Emmys. And then
Never for Ellen.
2005. Krista Vernoff, who's now the showrunner, she got nominated for writing in 2006. Let's see what episode this was.
I forgot about the fertility issues.
Oh, it also got a directing nomination. But yeah, it was kind of an Emmy's darling for a minute, but I feel like it lost its luster. I can't find
this
out.
This is an interesting scene for Meredith.
Her whole thing is weird in this episode, I have to say.
Yeah, it doesn't... This emotional moment feels a little like, well, we need to have more Meredith in this episode versus this makes any sense.
Yeah. It honestly, this... I think the one thing... The one mistake this episode made was I don't think we were brave enough yet to let our, like, top of the call sheet take a break. And I honestly think we could have given a few of our actors the week off. You know?
Yeah. And now I would also, now we've mentioned, and if you don't watch the show all the time, Callie is doing the VO. And that is huge. I'm trying to think of the number.
I just want to say I haven't been able to find out what episode she got nominated for, but overall, Grey's has had a total of 39 nominations, but only 5 wins in the whole history.
Didn't Chandra win? Or did I make that up?
Let's see. In 2011, Loretta Devine won as Outstanding Guest Actress as Adele.
Thank God.
It won Outstanding Makeup in 2010.
Hmm.
And... yeah, it won 2 makeup awards in 2010. And then let's see what else it won. Oh, this song makes me think of Grey's. Let's see. It also... the Emmy's website is really kind of a hot mess right now, not giving me everything. It won a casting award in 2006.
Yeah.
Wow, they've had some wild nominations. Kyle Chandler got nominated for Outstanding Guest Actor in 2006 for Dylan Young, which famously Shonda has said that's the character she is most heartbroken for having killed off.
You had to, though.
You had to. This song makes me think of Grey's too, hardcore.
It never works long term to have anyone that's not a doctor in the show.
Yeah, it can't.
It just doesn't.
No.
I mean, the veterinarian that Meredith...
Chris O'Donnell, we love you, but, like, what were you doing as a vet there?
It
didn't work.
Even Joe of Joe's, the pub, it didn't... It just doesn't pan out. I don't know.
And I don't know if it's because they don't belong there or if it's because writers panic and don't know what to do with them. I don't know.
Oh, but I was saying, how many... Wait.
I, as a teacher, I've said this. I've said that. That scene really resonates to me as an educator. People have to want to learn to be able to teach them. Also, this moment alone deserved an Emmy. This performance here. Oh, my God. How is she doing this? Like, what?
She's so good.
She's about to sing her face off at herself. This is about to go off. This is about to be the most insane thing. Oh my God, look at this blocking she has to do. Oh! I mean...
is that a stand-in?
Probably. There's probably... oh! How do you do this?
Imagine being the stand-in that has to pretend to be comatose you while you sing at you.
This is just like so... incredible. And I have chills right now. Like, I have chills. Oh my God. Oh my God. She's waking herself up from the coma. She's waking herself up from the coma. She's singing herself back to life. She is singing herself back to life. Oh my God. True story. Like, watching a performance like that makes me be like, I have to never give up on my dreams, because, like, I don't know, like, not only did Sarah Ramirez just sing herself back to life, but she makes me want to be like, remember why I love this thing that we do called acting. It does. It really does.
She's amazing.
I love her. Oh.
I think that's the thing with the acting in this episode. There's certainly various levels of joy being brought to it. And Sarah Ramirez was psyched.
Yeah.
It's an episode about her. It's all her talents. I think Jessica Capshaw and Eric Dane were less psyched.
Yeah. The thing is like, this is the episode that they've, like, had been wanting to figure out how to do since the moment they hired her. Also, famously, Sarah Ramirez had won the Tony Award for Spamalot on Broadway. And the story is that Spamalot was such a hit, she was such a darling at the time, that ABC executives went to see Spamalot after the show. They, like, reached out to her and they were like, what TV show on our network do you want to be on? And she was like, Grey's Anatomy. Like, that's the story, and I choose to believe. Y'all.
That's interesting. She's introduced in season two, right? Mm-hmm. She's pretty early.
Yeah, she comes on pretty early, but, like, the show was having such big buzz, and she was having such big buzz, and she was just like, this is allegedly, that's the story. That's the folklore I've always heard, is that ABC was like, we will write you into any show you want because you got it, kid. And she's like, make me a hot doctor.
Wow. Well, folks, that was it. That was Song Beneath a Song. I hope you enjoyed watching along with us. The thing that I half said 8 times and then never finished my thought was, I wonder how many different characters have done the voiceover.
Oh, wow.
That's it. We'll it wasn't it out. That interesting. I know at least 3 because April has done it.
And Karev has done it.
Wow. I was going to ask if a man has ever done it, because I don't specifically remember.
Karev did it. Well, he famously did his entire episode that was all just a voiceover when he said goodbye.
Well, I'm not going to count that one.
You have to.
That's not the same thing.
It is a departure, but we can't pretend it didn't happen.
I can.
Okay. You can tell yourself it didn't happen, but it still happened. Well, Caitlin, upon rewatch, takeaways from the episode, things, you know, anything that you noticed this time around that you didn't notice in the past?
You know, how much of just a vehicle for Sarah Ramirez, I think. I knew that, mm-hmm. but it really is. Like, and when it moves away from that is when it's less successful for me.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that upon rewatch, I think I've always known this, but I don't know that I've ever articulated it out loud to myself. But they just needed to be brave and be like, we don't need all this other mishigash. Like, this episode's about Sarah. Like, it's all about Sarah. And let's just let it be about Sarah. And, like, we can still have a couple of those good group numbers. But you know, you got to keep it real. Now, Caitlin, Grey's is premiering this week. Season 17.
Right.
Thursday. Just a few days away. What are you hoping? Like, we already know the inevitable. We already know a few things, and we can't change what's been done, right? We can't change what's been done.
Right.
But what are you hoping is going to happen this season? What are your season 17 hopes and dreams?
This is an excellent question. I would like to see Glasses move on.
Wow.
From his relationship. I think that we need to see him either dating or with someone new.
Okay.
Oh, I want to see Meredith and McWidow.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I think we're going to differ in our opinion on the Karasik Teddy Owen plot, which I don't exactly even know where I want it to go, but I'm not happy with where it is.
No, and I will say this. I don't necessarily need Karasik and Teddy to be together, because at this point, I think there was a moment where we could have gone down that road and I would have been thrilled. But I honestly am so disappointed in Teddy's behavior this past season that I no longer am rooting for Karasik and Teddy. I want Karasik to find love this season, though. I want Karasik to find someone that is going to appreciate him and respect him.
I'm sad that we didn't get some stronger Owen and Teddy moments before they ruined it. I mean, they're gonna have everything collapse. I get that. It's Grey's. But give us a moment. And they didn't give us enough to me.
Yeah, I'm just so over Owen. I'm kind of hoping he takes a sabbatical. Like, Kevin McKidd, just direct for a season. I don't need Owen.
Yeah, he'll never leave Grey's.
Yeah, he can direct. Keep letting him direct. But I'm so bored of Owen right now. I need Owen. I need something big to happen to Owen.
Yeah, I do love Karasik. I think Karasik and Catherine are going to get together.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with Karasik and Catherine. But I'm going to need her. I'm going to need her to really do him right, though, because she didn't always do Richard right. She wasn't always a good partner. And I'm going to need her to partner the fuck up if she gets Karasik. That's my feeling.
I think that they're better suited for each other, though. Weber is not a great person, really.
He's actually kind of a bad guy. He's actually kind of the villain.
And I love that the show is, like, discovering, like, this man has learned not much.
No, he really hasn't. And it's confusing because the actor, James Pickens, he's iconic and wonderful, and we stand forever. But Weber, as a character, not a great dude.
I'd like to see Bailey have a plot that's maybe more about her being a doctor again.
Yeah.
And less, I don't know, the things just haven't stuck for me that they've done lately.
I'd also...
Oh, wait, she's adopting that kid.
Yeah, she's going to be adopting a kid.
God.
Unfortunately, we're going to have Joe probably, like, trying to date.
Oh, my God. Lauren, I hadn't thought about Joe at all until you said that. I was living in a world...
We all thought she moved to Iowa.
If you hadn't said anything...
You would have forgotten.
I would have forgotten forever.
Yeah. Well, we were all hoping, but no, she's still there.
And you mean Joe Karev.
Mm-hmm. Joe Karev. Yeah, Joe Karev. Joe Karev, whose husband left her to go be with his ex-wife. It's all so complicated. I'm going to need a personal apology for how they wrote Karev off from every member of that writing team, producing team, and, you know, Karev himself. Because I think, sir, you have some of the blame here. You have some of the blame here.
Absolutely. And I think on that note, we should wrap up.
Yes, of course.
Please let us know, did you like this watch along? Did you enjoy the format? What's some other formats? What are some other things you want to do with We Stand Together?
If you want to do another watch along, what do you want to watch with us? And also, if you are a Grey's Anatomy stan, what are your predictions for season 17? What have you missed the most? What are you hoping for? And as always, you got to make sure you're following us on the IG. We're at We Stand Social on Instagram, on TikTok. We also have a Gmail. You can email us, westandsocial@gmail.com.
We would love to hear from you. You.
Also, if you follow us on Instagram, you'll find our Google voicemail number. You can text us. You can leave us voicemails. If you've got a hot take and you want to hear that hot take on this show, we will use your voicemail. So don't be afraid. Give us a holler. All right. Well, we have to end this show because now that we've opened up Pandora's Box, I've got about 80,000 more hours of Grey's Anatomy to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll catch you on the flip side, stands.
Later. Sarah Michelle Gellar of Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame.
Now the Backstreet Boys are on.